Greetings to each of you. Special welcome to our guests, and especially a few that are part of a prayer group I was with. Thank you for coming. Let's pause and pray. Father in heaven, Lord Jesus, we praise you, we bless you for today. Thank you for giving us the privilege to be gathered like this. Thank you for your word that gives us a mooring, gives us a place to be anchored to. Thank you, Father, that in life's challenges, you have answers. So, Father, as we look at your word, please guide my thoughts, guide the direction of this time for your honor and for your glory. Lord, would you take a coal from your altar to sanctify my lips, cleanse my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. I think I'm more of a teacher than a preacher. So I'm going to take some liberties and try to facilitate some learning rather than preaching today. Most of you are capable learners, and many of you have a Father in heaven who gives you the Holy Spirit and teaches you. So I'm going to try to facilitate some learning, and you can do what you want with what I have to share and with the Word of God. It's between you and God to do something with it. I want to thank you, Joseph, Brother Joseph, for sharing what you did. I had considered using Matthew 17, that very scripture, for what I have to talk about, but with a different thrust. And you mentioned it, you alluded to it a bit. But why did Jesus, as the one who was the Son of God, take the initiative not to offend? He could have just gone right on. He has authority. But he did something. I'd like to look at doing interpersonal relationships better. So what does it mean? What does interpersonal relationships mean in our minds? So I want to give you just a real quick just like to hear from you. Just very quickly, you don't need a mic for this, just say it. What are interpersonal relationships? What do we mean by that? Just if you could raise your hand and yes. Communication, all right. We all have ideas, surely. Most of us. Yes, Brother Robert.
Being of the same spirit.
Okay, being of the same spirit. All right. Can we get a little more practical? What does it really mean? What is it? We talk about relationships. We talk about interpersonal. What does it mean? And that's fine. No answers are wrong answers. Yes, Stanley. Okay. All right, so true. We may use it that way. Anyone else? Yes.
Interpersonal relationships are what happens when two lives overlap in time and space.
Yes. Good way to put it. Did you have more? Okay. All right. So really, yes, Brother Simeon.
The word that came to me is community.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very well, community. All right. Sorry, I should repeat what you say because it's not on the mics. Yeah. Anyone else? Just as you think about interpersonal relationships. Yes, Brother Clifford.
Getting along with other people, not giving offense and not getting offended.
All right. Getting along with other people, not giving offense or getting offended. All right. So, and that's true when you do them well, right? So interpersonal relationships, I'll just read a meaning here. Social associations, connections, or bonds between two or more people. They involve shared, often emotional, interactions such as friendship, family, or work partnerships that satisfy personal needs, foster and rely on reciprocity and trust. So really, we all have them, okay? If you're a hermit somewhere, you don't have interpersonal relationships possibly, but we all deal with it. It's relationships of the people around us. And some are closer. A marriage is a very close interpersonal relationship. We have relationships at church. We have brothers and sisters in church. We have our children. We have our work relationships. So I would like to look at doing interpersonal relationships better. I have a few disclaimers. One of the things I want to specifically talk about is conflict in interpersonal relationships. This is a big subject. I started thinking about this subject over a year ago. I was considering preaching a sermon last year, but I'm glad I didn't. It has percolated in there, and I sort of dropped it for a while, but when I was asked to preach, I brought it up again and started thinking about it. Ryan Martin from Canada has a book that became available in the last couple days. He titled the book Conflict Arraigned. If he can write a book on doing conflict well, I can't do justice to the subject in this short time. And I'm not teaching on this because there's a book about it, but rather it's something I've been thinking about and I need to grow in it myself. Another disclaimer. There are many nuances in relationships and sometimes they are very complicated. I don't claim to have the answers, but I want to look at some principles. Let's do that. Another thing, we had a wedding here yesterday, an excellent wedding message. I'm not focusing on marriage or necessarily even parent-child relationships, but you can probably apply these principles there. Like I said, it's a huge subject. So I'd like to look at three different parts of relationships. One, conflict. And two, reactions and tendencies to extremes. And then three, reconciliation. So let's look at conflict. I want to take a little time and explain what I mean and what I don't mean. Some of you may react to the word conflict, and you may have already shut me off. If you do, okay. But let me try to explain. I'm not talking about creating conflict for the sake of debate. I think we should be very careful with that and maybe stay away from it altogether. Let's be very careful how we play the devil's advocate. If you're doing that, does it build up? Does it edify? If you see it does, maybe you can do it. But debating just for the sake of debating, is it edifying? That's not really the conflict I'm talking about. As I got into this, I saw that it sort of grew. So I'm going to try to explain. I'm not talking about conflict of a person disrespecting authority or rebelling against parents. There is conflict between a parent and a child at times. That needs to be addressed, but maybe in a different message. I'm not talking about the conflict between good and evil. So what do I mean? I put it this way. Differences of ideas, opinions, or even convictions that come between us. They hinder us from moving forward or start building walls or barriers in our communication and understanding of each other. This conflict can cause us to walk further and further apart. That's what I'm talking about. Sometimes there has been conflict in our past. We know there's a barrier. We know there's something there. But we don't do anything about it. We're scared. We don't want to address it. Eventually, this can happen. Eventually, we come up with a false narrative about the person we're in conflict with. We write our own story about the situation in our minds. And it may be mostly false because we haven't resolved it. It keeps building. Is this what's referred to as the root of bitterness? My definition of avoiding conflict, and there's more definitions, but one, avoiding conflict is to avoid reconciling with that person or people. And there's other ways we can avoid conflict. Maybe there's something we should talk about, but we don't want to. It should be addressed, but we don't want to. Because of whatever reason. Here's another one I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about differences of opinion between us that are non-issues. I think we have many of those, and there's nothing wrong with that. We may have a difference of how we do something, how we look at something, and it's a non-issue. That's not what I'm talking about as far as conflict. But what if it becomes an area of conflict? Now we have to deal with it. Or we should. So, if you could have the mics ready. How many of you would say you've had experience with conflict? Maybe it was a disagreement with someone, or maybe you and someone else couldn't see eye to eye on a given subject. Could I have a raise of hands? Did you look around a little bit? All right. It's pretty common. How many of you would admit that you tend to avoid resolving conflict? Okay, not as many hands. Okay, that's fine. So I'd like to hear from you. Why do you tend towards avoiding conflict? Why do we do that? Anyone have a thought? Okay, Timothy up here. All the way up front here. Someone else? While he's getting the mic, anyone else? Okay, one over here. All right, go ahead, Timothy.
I normally assume that the conflict is going to get worse instead of better.
Okay, all right. Very good. Okay, and there's one back. Yes?
It's just very uncomfortable, and we don't really like to get into that.
Mm-hmm. You know, if we get outside of that, how many of us have jobs we have to do? I don't know, for the ladies it might be cleaning or it might be laundry or whatever. For us men, I don't know, some of the jobs I have to do. It's easy to just sort of do the easy ones first and push them aside. Anyone relate? I think we can do conflict that way sometimes. Okay, in the back.
Yes, so, I mean, it's obviously very uncomfortable, or conflict is not enjoyable, and it also forces us to be very honest with the other person, and nobody likes saying something negative about someone else. Or most people don't. And it also forces us to be very honest with the way we feel and vulnerable.
Very good. Very well said. Okay, any more? All right, one over here. Any over on this side? Go ahead, Josh.
Not always even sure if it's the right thing to do. Maybe we should just get over it.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good point. It's a very good point. And later on, I considered getting into that. I think I may have left that out. But the thing of, maybe it's something we can just drop, and it's not an issue. But what if we can't? All right. Any others? All right. Thank you. So since conflict is a part of the human experience, we shouldn't avoid it. Why do I say that? I know my tendency to avoid it. And I'm not proud of that. I used to be okay with avoiding it. I'm starting to not be okay with that. Many times avoiding conflict leaves things unresolved, and they just go on. I'd like to do better with reconciliation. We need to understand that conflict done well is a great testimony. Ryan says, we actually enhance our testimony when we do conflict well. Turn your Bibles to James chapter 3 and verse 18. I'm going to be reading from the ESV. James chapter 3, verse 13 to 18. It speaks into relationships and conflicts. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Powerful words. This person has meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and self-ambition exist, There will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And I'll just leave it there. We'll talk about it a little more. John 13, verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. We throw that verse around. We talk about it. But are we applying it? If conflict isn't a thing, then why would Jesus have said this? If there's no need for us to actually work on getting along, why would he have said it? Because we'll just get along. But he says, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Obviously, we need to love one another even if there's conflict. So, I have a few things here I want to just look at. So, a little background on this part. A little over a year ago, one of my managers, Delbert Klein, had a devotional on this verse. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And he took that word and he talked about the nuances of moderation and how we tend toward extremes, especially when someone has a different thought. So we have here a line, the two extremes, and moderate. Now, most of us, I would assume, would consider ourselves moderate, fairly moderate. We're kind of in the middle of the road. If we aren't, we'll probably adjust or something. Anyone disagree with that? We sort of feel ourselves moderate. So, if someone is going a bit to the left in their thinking, we tend to go to the right. Anybody disagree with that? We sort of, if someone has a certain bent, we tend to go the other way and pull a little bit the other way. And what happens is we pull a little further. And as you go on, that person tries to pull his part a little more. And we keep pulling against each other. And eventually, we get more people pulling both directions. And things polarize. Have any of us seen that? Sort of, we've heard of it, seen it. Why do we do that? And eventually, none of us are where we really wanted to be. So I'd like to open it up. Why do we tend to react to each other like this? Okay, Brother Stanley. Anyone else? No, I'll get you a mic.
You if we think someone's going a little far to the right, we have to pull it to the left to keep it in center.
Okay. Yeah, all right. We have a thought back here.
I think it's often just ignorance and not quite understanding the other person. Because we can often be saying the same thing using different words that sound like they oppose, but actually be having very similar thoughts to the person we're talking to or differing with.
Mm-hmm. How many of us have had situations like this and we're hashing it over? Eventually, we see that we're actually very close together. What happened? I think we were pulling apart, or making our own argument larger and larger when we just lay it down. Go over and meet the other person where they are and try to understand, as Jeff said. Try to understand, what are they trying to say? What really is behind this? Are they malicious? Are they wrong? Or do we just not understand? And so we try. We pull over, let's say, to that person that went left. So we walk over and we hear what they're trying to say. Anyone else? One in the back?
I think sometimes we can do it out of self-preservation. We take a lot of things personally. And when someone's view seems to differ with ours, it feels like a personal attack to ours, to ourselves, and maybe our ego. And in a way, it becomes a survival method. And so we need to make sure that our existence matters. And we insist that it does.
Very well said. One thing that just in this book that Ryan wrote, there's an interview, and something that they talk about is we as Americans have this right mentality. We have our rights. And in that, we tend to have the right to be right. I'm right. My opinion matters. It's me. I got it. And we don't like if someone else may be righter than me. They talk about a bit of a 0 to 100. I tend to think I'm 100% right. What if the other person is 49% right and I'm 51% right? What if? Some of us, well, if I'm not 100% right, I must be zero. I have nothing. No. So let's think about relationships as we look at this. Anyone else? Brother Stanley? Anyone who hasn't said anything yet as well? And Amos, you have a thought as well. Do you want to? Yes, go ahead, Stanley.
Maybe this already has, you have already alluded to it. Just say it in different words. We don't understand maybe exactly what the... What happened to me in the past is why I'm reacting this way. I don't want to go to where we did in the past. You don't see what I was through in the past, so you get a totally different message out of what I'm saying, which when we talk and talk, maybe we can then understand each other and, oh, you're saying it because of that. You don't want to go there. Maybe that's something that can help us get back to sender.
It's a very good point. Very good point.
If we understand each other better, we will love each other more.
Amen.
And since this is about a difference of opinions and ideas, not as much about biblical rights and wrongs. Music would be a good one to unpack here. What I hear is some people say, oh, you like polished music. Oh, we got to balance this out. And it, you know, it'll polarize us if we do that, versus, like you said, if we're willing to actually hear each other, it goes a long way.
All right, we'll continue. Thank you for your thoughts. I'm going to go on to another one here, but I want to just read Galatians 5, 13 to 15. You can turn to it if you want. Galatians 5, 13 to 15. For ye were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. But, if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. What have we been given liberty to do, freedom to do? Matthew Henry's concise commentary states, the apostle urges that all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If Christians who should help one another and rejoice one another quarrel, what can be expected but that the God of love should deny his grace, that the spirit of love should depart, and the evil spirit who seeks their destruction should prevail? Happy would it be if Christians, instead of biting and devouring one another on account of different opinions, would set themselves against sin in themselves and in the places where they live. How much more could we get done? How much energy do we spend on conflict and interpersonal relationships? So my grandfather used to have cards with something like I'm going to show. I don't know where my copy is, so I grabbed something from the internet. But this idea, there's actually a poem that goes with it that I'm going to read. Two donkeys, so the story goes, were tethered each to each. When lo, they neared two shocks of hay that seemed within their reach. Each sought his own. The rope grew taut, as though each would apply his utmost strength to take his share or know the reason why. They pulled and scraped and pawed and kicked, as though indeed insane, but not by foolish stunts could they one single bite obtain. Till wearied, turning face to face, they talked the matter o'er, and mutually agreed that they would thus behave no more. At peace, they soon one shock devoured and ate the other two. How good their joint refreshment seemed, none but those donkeys knew. Ye humans, crude and stubborn-willed, respect the common tether. Be wise, confer, agree, co-work, and eat your hay together. What if we would learn from these two principles and come alongside our brother and try to understand his point of view? Would we lose ground or gain ground? Consider wisdom that is pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Okay, you can turn the lights back on. So One thing I want to just point out here is the idea, and Brother Amos brought this up, but doctrinal differences or convictions or could it be church decisions and so on. I think we face conflicts there as well. And I think there's a wise way to handle that. I would like to, and this isn't original with me, but looking at what the church in Berea did, taking the scriptures, looking at them, and deciding together. But let's be careful. Let's consider that we are coming from different angles. We're coming from the same thing, but from another way. And can we hear each other? So as we look at reactions and extremes, consider this posture. Just consider. I'm a learner. God has been gracious to me and has given me wisdom and understanding, but I'm far from perfect. I'm glad if someone disagrees with me, because it will help me grow. What would happen if none of us were threatened by differences, but we would all embrace them as a way to help us grow? I had someone tell me he likes if people disagree with him. How many of us want to say that? And the reason is because it makes it better. If we're working on a project together, do we think our way is the way? Or do five people together come up with a better answer than one? Ponder this. What do I have to defend? Why do I get all up in the air if somebody disagrees with me? What am I defending? What if respect for others and love for others are more important than my opinions or maybe even strong preferences? And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. From James chapter 3. So that was 1 and 2. That was conflict and the reaction. Let's go on to reconciliation. So we all know that poorly managed interpersonal relationships can lead to conflict. So I'd like to, again, get the mic out to you. And how do we reconcile conflicts or differences between us? How should we? How do we? What should we do about it? Just some thoughts. Can't really go wrong here. I'm not looking for necessarily a given answer. But what do you think? What are some ways to overcome, to make a difference in conflict? All right, Roger. Anyone else? Go ahead.
I think that recognizing where your own insecurity is in the matter is pretty important to be able to lay that down. And I think close related to why we may react, I was thinking about it more as you talked. I think there's a huge level that we don't maybe trust that the other person has their own, my own best interest in mind. And if we can choose to be vulnerable and trust that, even though we might not feel that, and realize that possibly that what I'm feeling is not reality, I think that will go a long way.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Okay, Stanley has one, and David, Is there anyone who hasn't said anything yet that would like to speak up?
I think we need to take the time to look at it from the other's point of view, hear them out, which is a very biblical principle. Maybe we can help us see that maybe we're not so far apart.
Okay, David and Brother George has one then. Yes, go ahead, David.
I like how James says it, the meekness of wisdom. I find for myself, I stand up for myself, and no, I was right. They messed up. But to take a step back and realize that, you know what, it doesn't really matter if I'm right or wrong, the problem needs to get fixed. And once I'm willing to lay down my reputation, my opinion, my pride, that's when I can start to make progress, personally.
Mm-hmm. Good. Brother George?
Subject. So how do we fix the conflict? How do we resolve it? I think that by God's grace, I have come a distance in that way. When it comes to conflict, there's a couple of things to consider. One is, am I really responsible? And where's my place? What's God's will for me in this? Do I have something protecting myself? I think most of us would say that we don't. I would say that I don't. Do we as older ones sometimes think we have experience that the younger generation doesn't? Yes, sometimes we do. And sometimes that can cause conflict, but I try to come to the point of, now that my children are growing, when they were teenagers, the conflict needed to be there because I needed to guide my home because I was responsible. Mm-hmm. Now I can share my opinion, and if they go a different direction, I've shared my opinion, and I just don't take responsibility for that. I take the scripture that Peter wanted to know what John's supposed to do, and Jesus said, don't worry about that, just follow me. So I like to choose that one. One thing, again, I'd like to lovingly point out and not cause more conflict is that moderate line that you draw. If you drew that moderate line at a certain place 40 years ago, 25 years ago, when, you know, I would have been a moderate. If I had a state that said moderate, I'd be at the far right now. So our younger generation should realize that in the world we live in the United States of America, and in the church, even in Living Hope, that moderate line has moved. So the question is, do we move with it?
Yes, good point. Very good point. Is the mic anywhere? Is there another mic out? No, okay. All right, so again, like I said, there's a lot to this subject. I'm not doing it justice, but I'd like to just take a few more scriptures. I think I won't read this one, but just sort of say what happened. And that is Acts chapter 15, 36 to 40, with Paul and Barnabas. So we all know that story, most of us. And it says, and there arose a sharp disagreement so that they separated from each other. I'll make myself a bit vulnerable here. Sometimes we may need to be like Paul and Barnabas and go different ways. But can we do that while keeping good relationships? Or do we have to get so invested in this disagreement, so emotionally involved, that we become angry and bitter at each other? Or can we, in loving ways, just we see things differently, it's okay, and we either continue walking together, and we're okay with having differing opinions and views, possibly even convictions? Or do we, and we may need to separate ways. Is that okay? I'll let you consider that. But we know we are not to let the root of bitterness control us. Matthew chapter 5, 23 to 24, it's just two verses. You can turn there if you wish. But I had been wondering, I was sort of considering, does the Bible tell us anywhere to go and apologize when we do someone wrong? And I thought this verse, I had this verse a little wrong in my mind, but I think this is one here. Matthew 5, 23 to 24. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. If we remember our brother has something against us, it's probably because we have wronged them. That's what I'm taking from this verse. Go and be reconciled. You did something against them. They're holding it against you. Go, be reconciled. That's one direction. Matthew 18, 15 to 17. I must have that a little wrong. Matthew 18. Yeah, okay. So verse 15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. So I see a clear difference between chapter 5 and chapter 18. If you've wronged your brother versus your brother has wronged you. So it says, if your brother sins against you, go. Tell him his fault. In my opinion, it seems like Jesus isn't referring to a sin issue here, but rather something he's done against you. That would be my take of it. It says sinned against you. I would take that as sort of a personal offense. Could be wrong. I'd be open to other thoughts. Jesus doesn't say, let that person come and apologize to you. Let that person come and be reconciled. He gives the indication that you need to make the first move. So someone has done something against you. Go. Would anyone here want to share how they've worked out Matthew 18, verse 15? Have you done that? Have you gone to someone who has wronged you and told them his fault? Do we do that well? Maybe it's too personal for anyone to share. Maybe you've tried. Don't give up now. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. I tried already. I couldn't get through. Nah, just leave it. Forget it. It's not what Jesus said to do. Take one or two others along with you. If he refuses to listen to you, tell it to the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. I don't claim to understand all of that. But are we doing conflict well? Are we doing that? When someone does something against us, sins against us, is this talking about the church, sinning against the church? I don't know. It doesn't seem that way according to the scripture. Many people, I think, use it that way. But I think it's taken out of context. What about me personally? What if it feels like someone has something against me? What am I doing about it? So the point, be reconciled. Take the first step. Whether you have wronged someone or someone has wronged you, be the first to step forward to resolve conflict or pain. Be the first one to offer yourself, to humbly go and either apologize or approach someone if they wronged you. What would happen if we would do that? Just a few more considerations. I'm getting a little practical here. Avoid using terms like, it's not personal. Or, don't take it personally if you don't mean it. How many times have you had someone say, don't take it personal, but, and they go on and give you something? Be careful. Please, if you have something hard to say to a person, be honest. Just tell them. If you have a problem with someone, don't hint at what you're trying to say. Just let them know, kindly. Brother, is there something between us? What have I done? Feels like you're holding something against me, or you've done this. Why did you do that? This is what it made me feel like. I can't paint you the scenarios necessarily. You know what they are. We might say, I get too emotionally involved, I'll get angry or upset. Can't do it. Is that not a perfect time for God to do more purifying and making us more like Himself? What if avoiding conflict is running from the pruning God wants to do in my life? What do I have to lose when having brotherly love and humility? Who or what am I trying to protect by not resolving conflict? I'd like you to consider these questions. Who or what? Somebody mentioned it, reputation. Someone said ego, insecurities. We men, we have fragile egos. I think we need to be aware of that and realize it. But what are we trying to do? So, I have a little bit of time. I wouldn't mind if we could have a little bit of discussion, thoughts. How can we do this better? We've done some of that already, but if there is someone who wants to say something in conclusion to this, you're welcome. Brother Amos.
I find that it's a big difference in reconciling and doing this better if the heart posture is for reconciliation versus to go give another jab.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. All right, I'll conclude with just a few things here. This teaching had nothing to do with advertising a book, but I was blessed that it came out now. I have the book. I had it pre-ordered, so I'm hoping to get it this week. And if you'd like to know more about this book, talk to me. If you're interested in it, we can maybe get discounted pricing because we can order more copies. So conflict. In interpersonal relationships, conflict, it is and will be. Embrace that fact and handle it well. reaction and extremism. Be aware of it and move toward your brother rather than pulling away from him. And again, I'm not saying compromising truth, but sometimes compromising our ideas for the sake of at least understanding and trying to come to that road where we can agree. Letting down my barriers to listen. And when we listen well, we're going to pull together rather than pulling apart. In resolution, be the first one to move toward reconciliation and forgiveness. It's a command of Jesus. Let's do that. God bless you all.